everybody, and welcome to the halfway point. That's right, day 15 of the Everyday Novelist NaNoWriMo Write Through for 2020. I am your host, J. Daniel Sawyer, and I'm joined by your other host,
Kitty Nakian.
And
Alexis.
And finally,
Gail Carriger.
Tori, who is regularly with us, is not here tonight, so we will hear what happened with her today, tomorrow, hopefully. How'd everybody do today? What kind of day has it been?
I'm excited to find out, because as I said yesterday, I challenged myself to write first thing in the morning today, and that's exactly what I did.
Ooh, that's right.
So I don't know my numbers yet, I woke up, I made myself a cup of tea, and I sat down and I wrote, and I didn't do anything else until I had done some writing, so...
Cool. What was your word count?
Well, my total is 67506. So you tell me, Dan.
506. 1589.
All right. So that's what an hour and a half to 2 hours in the morning gave me.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, that's pretty good.
How about you, Alexis? How have things been for you?
Okay. 4,873,
giving you a daily total today of 347. Pretty good. Kitty, how about you?
My total is 3,399.
500 words today, 510, actually, which is your best so far of the month. Very good. You seem to have tapped a vein. What happened?
I stabbed my arm and bled on the paper.
That was Hemingway's method. He said, writing's easy. You just got to stand at the typewriter and bleed.
Actually, I think just changing how the story starts gave me a workable direction.
That makes a difference. Cool.
And I haven't even written the start. I just kept going from where I was before.
But you just reworked it in your head?
But I reworked it in my head, and... that introduced new characters and new situations already, even just from where I was.
Fantastic. I love it when someone finds the magic. Let's see. I had a short shift last night, which was miserable, but I left it at a very good place. And this morning when I sat down, this afternoon when I sat down, I was completely lost. But then I realized my conceit allows me to switch between viewpoints and modalities of storytelling, so I switched to a first-person journal, and it flowed, and it was beautiful. My word count now is 33,344 for a daily of 3,161.
Woohoo!
I was actually kind of dithering about whether to write before the meeting at all. But then someone brought a deer by, and so I've got butchering to do tonight, so figured I'd better write before, or I wasn't going to write at all.
That's great.
Yeah, so venison tomorrow night.
I'm going to try my morning writing technique again tomorrow. It'll be, because I think that's good. I'm just going to try doing it on the weekends henceforth and see.
Cool.
It did disturb my partner and my cat to... I'm always the first one up in the house and to wander in later and find that I was sitting there already typing on a Saturday morning. discombobulated the entire household.
Well, it's a healthy thing to do now and again.
Yes, to keep them on their toes.
Especially your cat.
Especially the cat.
I got a good amount of progress for how many words there were. I think for a while I was kind of skating around much in the way of forward. And I'm going forward now.
Nice.
Instead of just zigzagging.
That's wonderful. Cool. So we all seem to have done pretty good today. Do we have a question from the forum, Dan?
We actually do. Woo-hoo. Let me go find it here.
While Dan is searching, I will say that I had a Facebook Live this afternoon.
I missed it. Yeah, I missed it because of the deer.
But it was all had that.
It was all about NaNoWriMo, and I had people ask me questions ahead of time that were all craft oriented. So if you want to watch me opine on craft for an hour with red lipstick and a hat, you can go find that on my Gail Carriger author page, and the video will be left up, so you can just find it there. And it's titled, it has a NaNoWriMo tag and everything. So.
Fantastic, and we will link to that in the show notes. All right, I have found the question. Oh, wow, let's see. We might have more than one, but one is good enough for now. Let's see. Here we go. This is from JR, who asks, I'm coming back into writing after a year of shit so deep I had to buy a new watch. Now I'm struggling to get back to the 2,000 or more words per day.
Preach!
What advice could you give to help people get back on track? Right now I'm not on the trajectory to win Nano, and that just won't do!
Wait, he wants more than 2,000 words a day, and he thinks that's off track?
Well, he started late,
oh,
so
okay.
He's playing catch-up.
Well, I mean, my answer was to do Nano. Like, I was like, well, I need to get my writing habit back. What I'm going to do is join a group where I have to talk about it every day, and...
competition and accountability.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, and even if you're not into the competition or accountability thing, just having that deadline every day that you got to work for also helps. So I frequently get where I'm 2 hours from the recording session, and I'm like, wait, I have 2 hours. I could get more words in.
There's also that...
Drop everything, go to the keyboard.
You know that dumb saying where they're like after you break up from a relationship, you need, like, half as much time as you were in the relationship to recover from it or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether it's true or not. You can believe it or not. But, like, so far as, like, a break from writing, I feel like it's also the same thing. Like, if you've been off from writing and not writing at all or not being creative at all for a really long time, then you can't expect yourself to jump right back into what you had before you lost it. It's going to take you a while, like a grieving process, to rediscover, to love again, so to speak.
Yep.
To start dating writing again.
Yeah, or like if you were in the habit of hiking 10 miles a day and you fell off the wagon for a while, your first day back hiking, you may not make 10 miles. You may make 4.
Yeah.
And you got to train back up.
So you might be sort of like, the JR had a 2,000 word a day thing, which is about what I can do when I'm on a deadline or what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, try for a lot less than that and then slowly ramp yourself up. Don't expect yourself to jump right back into that just because you did do it once. Doesn't mean you have to do it every time.
But if you're wanting to, a couple of things that might help other than having some kind of daily benchmark or accountability check-in, and that can help, depending on how your mind works. Another thing is employ all the tricks that you learned. You will have learned, because I know you were a pretty high-productivity guy, I know that you've learned how to work yourself around, how to jump around in a story, how to switch viewpoints so that you can get around a block. Start treating the blocks as problems to solve rather than just a wall you're running into, and see if you can use creativity to get you around the pause points. If you think outside whatever channel that you have set for yourself.
Yeah, it's like trying to remember the groove of the old habit.
I think I'm misunderstanding the question. Is he trying to get back on track for where he should be on the NaNoWriMo word count? Or is he trying to rebuild a habit?
Both. JR has been one of our oldest questioners. He was one of the guys that got the show started at the beginning. He used to be, up until about a year ago, he was one of those, you know, 2,500, 3,000 words a day pretty regularly. And life went crazy, and he's not been at the keyboard like, you know, Gail hasn't for large parts of this year, and like I wasn't for large parts of the last several years until this year. And so he's trying to get back into old habits and get back to his old level of productivity. Sometimes the old habits don't work because the shit that happens in life changes the way your mind works. So you have to sort of work around until you find new ways to get there. But it sounds like he's using Nano to try to bootstrap himself back into that position. And he wants to beat Nano even though he started late as sort of the first level challenge.
There's a kind of curse to it, too, to having been able to do it and having been able to do it consistently for so long and then not. Because I think you're prone to being harder on yourself if you once consistently were able to do it and now you can't. It's like It's like having been an elite athlete and suddenly not being able to be an elite athlete anymore.
Like when in your 20s you were able to pull all-nighters and not think about it.
Yes.
And then suddenly a one-hour time change when you're in your early 40s completely throws your schedule off.
Or the amount of booze that Keep I was once soon. Able to drink and now can't drink anymore.
That was a prodigious amount that you used to be
once
able to
upon
drink.
A time.
Boy, that'll make a short episode. Anyone got anything else they want to talk about?
Do you want to do a second question? Or
We could. Let me see if we got a second question here.
Okay, I'd like to...
Go for it.
Just put an observation down regarding the idea of caffeine and sleeper deprivation being good for creativity. I disagree. It just makes me lightheaded. And it makes me want to be very lazy and not write.
Well, you tried it, and now try something else, right?
I have to write it down so that I don't do it again 2 months later. Because this isn't very smart.
Oh, that's how you learn.
I'm doing caffeine, then stopping for 2 months, then doing it again. And sometimes I get to the point where I'll do it for, like, multiple days in a row. Wait, no, that was a lot of days in a row. Okay, that actually makes sense why I had such a problem with that.
Enjoy your coffee or tea or caffeine-infused soda if you really like the taste of it, but limit your consumption.
I had half a cup today, and it gave me nausea.
What?
Coffee.
Okay, switch to tea. Switch to tea, child.
Yeah, tea is actually easier on the stomach than coffee is.
Is it also easier on the lightheadedness and woozy?
Yeah, it's got an amino acid in it that causes the caffeine to be metabolized differently, so you get less of the high and more
especially
of the
if coffee. You switch to a real
tea does?
Mild tea, like, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, tea does.
Tea does.
Right. So if you switch to something like white tea or oolong or something, you'll be very gentle on your soul.
All right.
Yep. Or have L-theanine with your coffee.
Yeah. It's a little harder to get a hold of, though. That's the amino acid that's in tea, but they sell it in pill form now for coffee drinkers. Huh. Kitty discovered that last year. It's now her favorite nootropic stack.
I don't like coffee that much, so. And it mucks with my stomach.
Me either.
Yeah, that's my thing, too. I really like the taste of coffee, but my stomach
I don't like
it
coffee, but I like that you can add cream and sweet things to it easier without upsetting the taste, easier than you can with tea. I'm kind of picky about tea mixing with anything. I don't like things being put in it. It just seems wrong and disrespectful. I don't have respect for coffee, and I don't have any reason to do that. You put the stuff in it to make it okay.
I'm laughing because I actually like my coffee black too for the same reason, but you're talking to a woman who grew up in an English household and she likes her cream with her tea.
Well, cold milk usually, but yes. And I will freaking put stuff in all other teas. I will mix honey with oolongs.
It makes sense if you brew your tea really strongly and put some of the tea into milk. But I brew my tea kind of on the weak side, so it just be watery flavored milk.
That sounds horrible.
It does. I agree.
But there are some gorgeous, like, the bubble tea arena, but I'm thinking about Thai tea. There are some teas out there that do, like, amazing things with stuff in tea. I like stuff in tea. Yes! Like, chewy bits.
So
stuff in tea
thing
is great.
With the dark tea and the milk is that, like...
Careful.
It makes the tannins bitter.
No.
And then I can't enjoy the actual tea very much.
No, you're drinking the wrong tea.
I know I am. Wait. No, wait. I actually want advice on this. I've never found a tea that I liked with milk.
Oh, well, you want a dark leaf Assan that you brew strong and you mix whole milk into. The idea is like you want a tea that brews strong without getting tannic or bitter, and what little tannic or bitter comes out of the dark leaf, that's what the milk, the sweetness in the milk, cuts. And so getting the right balance is, and there are very few American-made black teas that you can brew strong without them getting super bitter.
You said dark tea something. What was that word?
Assam.
It sounded like a Spanish word for blue.
Assam. Assam is the Indian leaf that's the main leaf in chai, but it's also the main leaf in blends that you might be familiar with, like English breakfast or heaven forfend Earl Grey. But yeah. So sometimes you can find a tea in the States, if you go to like a fancy tea vendors, that's just what's a whole leaf Assam, which will brew strong.
You can often find them in Indian grocery stores.
And the box term of tea.
Oh.
Did you say Earl Grey would work with that?
No, I don't like Earl Grey at all, but it's made from the same leaf.
Yeah, Earl Grey is that leaf plus bergamot oil, which is a kind
very of few tea vendors offer
most
pure
of these
leaves.
Are fruit type teas?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're somebody who really likes to do things with their tea, I don't recommend fruits and blacks. I don't think is a great starter off point. I think you should find a pure leaf that you like first,
peppermint.
And then go to everywhere else.
Does peppermint
that's
count?
Not a tea. That's a tisane.
Yeah,
I'm so confused. Okay, so.
This is not this podcast.
That's okay. Proper tea is made from, what is it, the gardenia bush? It's the gardenia bush.
Cassidia, yeah. Whatever is the Latin name.
It's either gardenia or chrysanthemum. I can't remember which. One of them is pyrethrum.
It's neither of those things.
Does chamomile count as real tea?
No, also not tea.
Okay.
Camellia sinensis. Yeah.
That's it. Camellia is the one. It's made from the camellia bush. Particularly subspecies of the camellia bush, and that's tea. And then tisanes are basically herbal teas, and they're called teas because they're dried leaves in water. But they're not actually tea. They're other herbs that are brewed the same way.
Green tea counts,
sorry.
Right?
Yeah, green tea counts.
It's cool. Green tea is a camellia.
All right.
But green tea is its own flavor. It's got a grassy consistency to it and so on and so forth. It also has a lower caffeine content than black tea, and black tea has a lower caffeine content than
I kind of like green tea, but I can't really, like, enjoy it with too much things added.
Yeah, green tea is really good on its own. Green tea is unmalted, whereas black tea is the same leaf, but it's malted, which means it's partially cooked and dried in a way that does a chemical change and brings out the darker flavors.
So
it's also green tea is also really good. Green tea is good with food, which I recommend if you want. Like if you're thinking about. If what we're talking about is getting a little bit of caffeine into your diet, you might consider having a green tea with, you know, lunch or something like that, because that will also help your body process the caffeine in a little bit more friendly way for your system. Ink it out over a longer period.
If you're looking for
a good... I kind of like it by itself. It's just a very specific thing that I enjoy.
Well, if you like green tea, then there you go. It's a perfect way to get your caffeine is green tea, because it is very gentle on your system. Yep. It's a much kinder caffeine.
It's true. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to explore black teas, you can get Assam at an Indian grocery store, or you can get some pretty decent bag teas at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's English breakfast blend is not what the English would consider proper, it's several cuts above most American teas. So it might be a good intro.
My brain hurts now.
But if you like green, don't try to develop a taste for black. Go for green. Find a green tea that
but
you
I'm
love.
Interested. Just you said
experiment with different greens. But
what I'm curious in is how the hell tea could taste good with milk. I believe that it can. I just
well, do you
need
think coffee tastes
it.
Good with milk or cream?
Well, yeah. I mean, depending on what you call
black
good.
Tea is the same.
Remember when you were around me a lot and I was always brewing the iced tea, Alexis?
Yep.
The stuff that I used was a really strong black tea. And if you had taken that hot and then in a mug and then poured like a couple tablespoons of whole milk into it, you would get the ratio that Gail generally drinks. She drinks proper English teas, but...
You need to. It's really hard to find a tea vendor who takes very much interest in black tea, unfortunately.
Really?
Because another thing to know about it, it's a little bit like wine tasting and stuff. I mean, it has all of these nuances and levels to it. But I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking what they want is a brisk tea, whereas what most people want is not a brisk tea. They want a malty tea. Because that malty roundness, that they have specific meanings, just the way toast does in wine tasting and stuff like that. But so, like, if you go, what you're asking for is a malty tea that is not brisk. And then a tea vendor should be a good one should be able to give you a good black tea, and it will probably be in a sum.
But and there are several good tea shops in the big city that you live near.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I
wish I knew. Like, I did some coffee drinking when I was there, and I did some tea drinking when I was there, and I wish I had encountered a good tea served that I could recommend to you, but I didn't, and I can't.
What was the place that we met our friend at? That was a tea place.
Yeah, we'll dig the name up and send, 'cause it's not too far from where you live. So I'll dig the name up and send it to you offline.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Well, to wrench us back on topic, such as it is, we've got, it's mostly feedback, but I thought you guys would like to hear it from the dictation question. Teresa says, thank you for all the good tips. I definitely second the Toastmasters recommendation for anyone needing to get better at public speaking. After years of dropping classes that required any sort of presentations during undergrad, I realized I was going to have to present classes to finish vet school, so I grabbed a friend, and we did Toastmasters for 6 months. It was enormously helpful, and when I had to teach classes in big auditoriums during my residency, it didn't bother me at all. But it still feels a little weird to be speaking my book aloud when I'm out in public. Thank you for the other tips, too. They were wonderful. And I hope I wasn't the only one who got a lot out of the episode.
Oh, yay. That's very kind. Thank you. Aw, that does make me feel good.
Thought it might.
Speaking during public, how's it... I haven't dictated in public before, but how is it different than... being on the phone, like, substantially, in terms of...
Oh, that's a good question.
Your own psyche, like, compared to other people. I'm glad.
Well, I think dictating fiction in mm-hmm. public is different than just, like, chewing your mother out or whatever, yeah. Right?
Like, yeah,
because you're exposing... more likely to do it.
But you're also... yeah, you're also... like, you're exposing the, like, sausage being made in its worst form. Mm-hmm. Like, you're... that's your rough draft of fiction. Like, that's humiliating. Nobody yeah. wants that.
And if you're actually dictating line by line, I can imagine there's several kinds of scenes that would be really, really yeah. weird to try to explain, like... grisly murder scenes or sex scenes or
yeah
or
no
scenes
I've done dictation but never in public. Like, no,
I guess no. The area where I live isn't very crowded.
That would make
it's
a difference.
A bunch of old people that stay inside their houses.
So you wouldn't have to worry about being overheard anyway.
For the most part, no.
Yeah, especially if Kevin J. Anderson just, like, goes off into the hills,
into the
right, when
yep.
he dictates and stuff. Yeah, so he literally isolates himself completely. If I dictate, I just close myself off into a room. I can't imagine, like, walking around my neighborhood dictating fiction. Oh, my God. I'm, like,
the streets
so...
around me are more private than my room, auditory-wise.
Oh, well, that's great.
Great.
Yeah, and I should be clear, I have no fear of public speaking at all. But that idea terrifies me.
you're braver than we are, Teresa.
Yeah. So true. On that note, I think we should get back to it.
That's about it.
And,
I've got
talk to you all tomorrow.
I've got a deer to butcher, so I'm off.
I have a mage in a coma. I gotta get him out of his coma, so I'll see you all later.
Okay.
A mage?
I put a mage in a coma.
D&D?
No, in my book.
Okay. Just making sure. I thought that word might have uses outside of D&D. I wasn't sure.
All right.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.